Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this sixth Sunday after Pentecost is our gospel reading, St. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62, but I'm going to focus on verse 53 and 54. But they did not welcome him because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" These are the words of our Lord, and so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can divide people into two groups, the ones that are in and the wannabes. But that, of course, is from our view of things, what some call the natural order, the way we would make it all work, survival of the fittest and all that. So what group do you belong? Being in the in-group is always nice. Remember high school? So what does it mean to be in Jesus' in-group? He is heading to Jerusalem, where he will die. He is not going to take the throne in the palace, but rather on the cross. He is the crucified one and remains so for you and for me. He is the Lamb who is slain, starting before time began and on into eternity. Then this is who is in. Then this is who is in this group. We who are baptized into this death, his death. We have been given our own crosses to carry. He gives them to us. We are sheep of his pasture, ready for slaughter, as the Bible calls us, ready to give our lives like he did. You still in? Take up your cross and follow him. Yes, a life of giving and sacrifice, but we can certainly afford it because he rose, so we rise to having an everlasting inheritance like his. We can afford anything. All things have been given to him in heaven and on earth. We are co-heirs with him, so we are far richer than anyone in this world, in this world's in-group. Elon Musk, even. But he is kind of on the out these days now, isn't he? You still in? The stakes are high. The cost is your life. But the rewards. So yes, it is all worth it. Now the Pharisees thought they were in. They had their own tailor-made crosses, you see, with a glossy finish of course, of the most choice and finest of styrofoam. They even like them. You like yours? If you do, it's not from God. It cost everything, even a cross, to have everything, to be really in. It cost even God his life. Count the cost, Jesus said. You still in? Our crosses are painful, bitter, grinding, but they are from him, a personal fitted tool of glory. All the same, the truth is, he has and he is carrying the brunt of the load. Does not always seem so, but this is his promise to us. Our cross, specially made for us, is something we can bear. Another promise of his. Well, because he is still carrying most of the weight of it. Because we are in him and he is in us. We all must be in Jesus, even when that is not so comfortable at times. Doing his work can hurt. Striving to please Christ means doing things no one else likes. It is a cross planted in a barren wasteland, not waterfront property. But it is promised to become paradise very soon. Now our text talks about an in-group, Peter, James, and John. Two of the three are the good sons of thunder, the in-boys, James and John. They were not part of that other in-group, the Pharisee crowd. No, they were part of Jesus' inner circle. Yet what is it that they do? They think they ought to take out these worthless Samaritans. Let's show them who is in and who is not. Blast them with fire from heaven. Now the Samaritans knew Jesus was heading into Jerusalem, yet he was not their idea of what was in either. They did not want him because he was not their Messiah, even if he was the Jews. This conflicted with their own idea of where you were supposed to worship. Their place was Mount Gerizim, and Jesus ought to be from or going there. Anyways, of course, it was not Jesus' inner circle that the Pharisees considered themselves to be in either. To them, it was all about keeping the law for some mean old judge. So they became mean old tyrants themselves. Know anyone like this? It was not just God's law that they liked to think they were good at to earn their inness with God. They added a bunch more than 1,500 rules and regulations to show who was in and who was out. They thought they had it all going right. They thought they were doing what God wanted. They were in, yes, but actually in trouble. Jesus came to town and blew their notion of inness away. He told them it has to be of the heart. They had to like it and want to do it. They missed the whole thing and found out they were out. It was always from the very beginning to be done, all of it, from love, not from judgment. He told them that their own self-chosen rules and religious activities were of no value. They were to be because they loved God and neighbor, not excluding both by making an exclusive elite. So they were still dead in their sins. They did these things, all of it, all their lives for themselves. For this very reason, death from sin was excluding them from the kingdom, the real in place to be. So could the Pharisees be in and the Samaritans out? Or was it Jews that were out and the Samaritans in? Or was it that James and John considered them all out and only they were in? And what of the other 10 disciples? They were kind of upset with James and John. Remember, they asked their mother to go and ask that they have the place on the left and right of Jesus. That's what they were thinking of themselves. They were the in. The truth was they all hated their brothers and were proud of it, as they thought it was all done for God. Our boys here, the sons of thunder, how different were they? Not much. You see, the law only produces wrath because we find we cannot do it. So we hate while we work to save ourselves, all to get in, even at the expense of others, even if others are left out. The Pharisees hated God because he would show them they failed and were out. The Samaritans were ticked because God demanded them to worship in Jerusalem and not where they or how they liked. They all hated Jesus, pointing out just how far out they all were. Yet the law still and only demands. The law is a treadmill that demands all the time, while condemning those who attempt it, even if only failing in the smallest way. How many feel better if they can condemn others while working their way in? We think it better to try and please an angry judge, an angry God, than to bother with doing even what ought to be natural to us, should be natural, like having compassion on those in need. But you see, we all of us who are dead cannot do any good work. The dead cannot believe, cannot trust, cannot please God. not even a simple thing like helping a fellow Jew beaten and robbed to get a doctor. Not even to allow healing on the Sabbath, not even allowing the Samaritans to have another chance to be saved. So Jesus says, they, you, me, are all out. Dead in your sins, on the outside in darkness, out. Jew, Pharisee, Samaritan, even perhaps our good sons of thunder, at least in the beginning. Yes, all are out. The whole world. All so that anyone at all can be in. This was all because of Jesus, not because of you or your ability. He chose to be out himself, even outside of his Father's love, in darkness for a little while, all so that many and many and many who cannot can come in. He will do it himself. Invite, call, carry, bring, and deliver these outsiders, even you and me, into the kingdom. But not to be like those, the ingrown and festering. Repent if you are. But really in. In because Jesus has made you in. Now your cross awaits. With fuzzy sheep fur to cover it in his blood, fed by his body, the only in place to be. Yep, in and in the middle of it, the war is on. You see, they all were wrong. What did I say about ingrown and festering? For this reason, the world hates. Not many see what in is all about, what it means. So these all were to push everyone else out. James and John thought they were in the know, and they were heading to the in place to be, Jerusalem, of course. Yet, they thought that was the place all the cool kids hung out, the place of kings and prophets and priests. But they forgot. It was always the place where these men of God were murdered. To be in, really, really in, is to die. What they found once they got there was no different. It is no better, in fact, much worse. Sure, Jesus is welcomed at first on Palm Sunday, but then they cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." How in did even the inner circle remain once Jesus was arrested? You still in? The in crowd, church people, the best of the best, right? This is where it all happened. It is where it all is supposed to happen. Love, faith, kindness, gentleness, peace, long-suffering. "I will die for you," Peter says. Then Peter cuts off the ear and denies him three times. Another runs away naked as the rest scatter. What one of these things would I do? How many times are we like James and John, sons of thunder? How many things do we do to have excuses for, to write others off? Are we in that sort of in crowd? So we let them pass us by. People we know and so many nameless others, we pass them by. We discount people with little thought or with malicious thought. The truth is, we, the church, do not even keep our own standards, not to mention God's, or the many we have made up. We fail our own expectations, our own rules of conduct, and when we do, who will comfort us? Who will let us back into the fold of the acceptable then? No one, I hope. That group, even though having a form of godliness, lacks the power that saves, heals, and redeems lost sinners. This is definitely not being in Jesus' in-group. But he will let you in. Leave the other group. Repent, O Pharisee. That is what we are when we do these things. Did Jesus die to let you or me decide who will be saved? Thank God it is not so. Jesus told James and John that they were not thinking rightly. They were of a different spirit. They were being like the Pharisees, like the Samaritans. Jesus came to save sinners by grace, not of works. By faith, not right attitudes and manners. So if you are in by your own way, by your own doing, any way of the law, even if you think it is by God's law, you are out. In fact, you are dead still in your sins. You cannot be in this way. So we are not in, right? Good. But we want to be. That is the difference. Which group do we want into? Jesus is calling you by his word. Come and be with me, my child. All is finished. All has been done. All is ready now. You want to be in Jesus' in crowd? Then you are welcomed and with open arms. Free admittance. It is not earned. It cannot be because it has already been. Earned and paid for with the perfect work of Christ and by his blood that has the power to redeem the whole world. Jesus did this for you. He has paid your ticket to be in, really and fully, no guesswork. No waiting list. It is right now, not just for this moment or as long as you can hold on. It is forever. He keeps you in his midst. He will bring you all the way home. He holds on to you. The Samaritans were not in, but could be. The Pharisees were not in, but also were invited. The Jews in general were not in, even if they worshipped in the right place, as their worship was by guilt and of the law. So too are prostitutes, tax collectors. They too are invited. Remember Mary and Matthew? As are IRS agents and drug dealers and addicts and drunks and murderers. And you. Yes, you are to be numbered with them. You are, yes. You and me are really in the same crowd as they are. Your sin damns you just as much. I am one of them. Yet all still are invited to be an heir, which is really in. I mean, how much more in can you get? How more in can you be than the king's kid? We eat at his table each time we celebrate his supper. We hear his royal pronouncements each time we hear or read his word. It is all about God for us. It is for you, all those precious promises that he has had written down for us to hear and actually gives us the faith to believe them. We are children of that promise, of the promises, and of the promise, and not the law, as Paul tells us. We are promised a way in. It is by Christ alone. He has done this for you. Then very soon, we will be really in, when we are in his everlasting kingdom. No longer a slave, but a child, a beloved brother of Jesus, no longer a sinner, but holy saint. In at last. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.